I've never felt like this before. It's like you just get me. I feel like my true self with you. Does that sound crazy? And it doesn't hurt that you're gorgeous. Okay, that's it. I'm taking you home with me. I mean, you can't find shoes this good just anywhere. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Mike, go ahead.
Yeah. Oh, no, that's it. I mean, that was a big
You got
thing,
an answer for us, an iconic
yes,
image, my friend?
Absolutely. Indiana Jones, Raiders of the Lost Ark, when he is trying to outrun the giant boulder.
It's a great answer.
That's a great one.
Just rewatch that.
And that's the opening.
Mm-hmm.
That's the opening of the
yeah,
it's was the, that the first one?
The first one. That's Raiders of the Lost Ark, 1981. The best movie made the year I was born, by far. Like I tell, my movie year is like the worst movie year of all time, 1981, except I had Raiders.
Really?
Yeah. Trust me, you know I look up this stuff and care about these dumb things. My 1981 is like such a horrendous movie year.
Really?
Disastrous. Raiders of the Lost Ark and like nothing else. Like Thief.
Wow.
It's pretty good. Like, you know, Superman 2. Which I know you love,
I
was
love
1981.
Superman
like,
too.
That's about as good as I got. It's a rough year for me. So,
that's
something
shocking.
Dumb that I care about. 215-592-9494. Back to the phones in a minute. Philly Royalty.
Was 9 to 5 1981?
Or 1980?
Yeah, it was around
that's
then.
A good movie, it's, man.
Yeah, a solid movie. But again,
what
like,
about Cannonball Run?
Okay, so I can actually. I have. Let me see if I can find it quickly. I have
I
a
think
list.
You might have more. Good
no,
movies than
really
you give
don't.
Credit.
I really don't. Not comparative 81. To other years. So 1981, the top 10 movies. Yes, I have this at hand because I'm a nerd. Raiders of the Lost Ark, number one. On Golden Ponds. Like, come on.
Oh,
like,
all right.
You know, yeah.
How about Absence
movie.
Of Malice?
Superman 2, which is a good movie. Arthur, which is fine. Yeah. You know, Dudley Moore, it's fine.
Yeah, I never liked Dudley
it's
Moore
fine.
That much.
Stripes, good movie.
That's an awesome
a great
movie.
Movie.
I said good
that's
movie.
That's an incredible
oh, play. That
no,
movie
that,
is so funny.
That's way up there.
Cannonball
that's like
Tommy Francis.
This is Cannonball Run. That's
it's
what I'm saying.
Fine. Chariots of
I
Fire
said,
stinks. For Your Eyes Only, I've never even heard of. The Four Seasons, I've never heard
Body
of. Time
Heat?
Bandits. So, I mean, like, just for example, listen
Ooh,
to
Time 1980. Time Bandits? Wow. Like, that's wow, that's one.
Like for 1982, the year my wife was born, listen to this. This is the top 10. E.T., banger. Not my favorite, but people love it. Tootsie, banger. Officer Gentleman, banger. Rocky III, banger. Porky's is what it is. Star Trek II, big thing. 48 Hours, Poltergeist,
yeah.
Annie, which yeah. Joe loves. Like those are, it's just, I'm just telling you, it's not the best year, all right?
You know. It's better than you.
It is better than your year.
Not when you look at other years,
it's
is my point. Go look up like the year you were born.
Chariots of Fire.
It turns
I
fire
got
stinks.
74. I think I might have Chinatown.
You, yeah, you 74 is probably amazing. Like you probably got one of the best years of all time. The 70s is the way to go. All right, back to the phones in a minute. 215-592-9494. Philly Royalty, Nicholas Foles. Did either of you see what Nick Foles had to say yesterday?
Did not.
No.
Oh, wow. Okay. Well, something that we have come to take as a...
Oh, yes, sorry.
You got Godfather 2.
I couldn't.
In Chinatown. Oh, look at you. I mean, are you kidding me? Blazing Saddles.
The See, Godfather 2.
This is what I'm talking about.
Young Frankenstein.
Oh, my God. That's a great movie.
Chinatown. Yep. See, Blazing Saddles.
The original Longest Yard, a banger. Like Murder
that
on the Orient
incredible.
Express. That's a classic.
The original Texas Chainsaw
Death
Massacre.
Wish, the original Death Wish. Like, yours is... That's my point. 81. I got nothing like this. That's my whole point that I'm trying to say. All right.
Only you. Only you.
Only I
would I even got Benji.
Yes.
Benji
oh,
was
I
good.
Loved Benji.
I
know.
Really good.
Didn't you want a dog like Benji?
I sure did.
You didn't. You know, yeah. All right. So Nick Foles. Nick Foles gave us a little information, and I'm going to say maybe it's too much information in this case because something that we have just taken to know as the Philly special is not actually the Philly special. Here's Nicholas Foles.
This is for all you football fans out there, probably primarily Eagles fans and those who hate the Patriots. But today is a history of the Philly special. The full name of the Philly special is not simply Philly special. You've probably seen it on NFL films. You've probably seen it on clips over and over again. I did not get in the huddle and look at my wristband and just say Philly special. It's actually the full name of the play is Float to Pistol Target Left Bunch. Philly special on the dummy kill. That's where I do my acting job, go over the lane, say lane, lane. That's what the dummy kill means. So there was more to it than just Philly special. Thought y'all might find it interesting. Hope you enjoyed the fun fact of the day pertaining to the Philly special.
Float.
Could we hear
to
that
pistol.
Again?
I got it. I got it for you. Ready? Because, I wrote it down. Trust me. I'm on it. Ready? Here we go. Float to pistol, target left bunch, Philly special on the dummy kill. That is the play. Here I have it. You want to see it written here?
He actually didn't call it when he went over to Doug Peterson.
No,
he said Philly.
It's right there. That's the play.
Right. Because this, but you got to understand that stuff is just the formation. Float to pistol left. Float to pistol target left bunch. Philly special on the dummy kill. Float to pistol target left bunch is just the formation.
Yep.
Philly special is the play, and then on the dummy kill
is him doing his acting stuff.
You've got a dummy kill where you're going to pretend, pretend to kill it, which is what they did when he.
Should we start calling it this?
No. I'll answer that question.
A lot of that is just gibberish. That's the formation. Formation long talking.
It's just funny because it's such an iconic
thing. I love Nick having
thing.
Fun with it. Hey,
me too. And for Eagles fans and people who hate the Patriots, I love that.
It's the best ever.
Yeah. So anyway, I thought.
That's another thing. Yesterday, as I'm out there watching practice, Big Dom is like, he's looking at the schedule. He's looking at the script, and he's like, "Do you know what any of this means?" And he's showing me the float to pistol target left.
No way.
Yeah, I do kind of know what some of that means, but that's fascinating.
That is really, really neat, right?
Yeah, it was an incredible opportunity to just be back and immersed in a little bit of football, a little bite, a little nibble of football, thanks to Big Dom. It was so kind of him.
So cool. So cool. We'll get more of John's thoughts from being out on the practice field, seeing his buddy Deuce Staley, and more as
Deuce
the show goes on.
Deuce looks unbelievable.
Yeah,
Deuce looks like
slimmed down a lot, right?
He's more slender than he was in 2003.
Wow. That's amazing. Yeah, Deuce, and you've talked about a lot. Like you've said, one of the smartest teammates you ever played
he
with.
He was the
Smartest, wow.
He was
you said he's
smartest.
One of those guys like who could look at a play and just tell you what all 22 people were doing, right?
Wow. Every guy.
Isn't that amazing?
On the field. You knew the moment you were in a meeting with him that he was going to someday be a coach.
That's so cool.
And he was always like one step ahead of the coaches, for that matter. Like he knew everything. You want to talk about pass protections, knowing – that's really – sort of what differentiates a guy who can play in the league from a guy who can't, running back wise. Guys get to the league and it's one thing to be able to, make a guy miss in the open field. That's the easy part, the athletic part, the diagnose the defense and understand what you're looking at, even when they're trying their damnedest to trick you every step of the way. And these are the smartest defensive coordinators in the world trying to trick you. It's tough. It's tough to know what you're looking at, to understand exactly who you've got and who the lines got and, what the calls mean and how to communicate it all. Deuce was – it was eyes in the back of his head.
That's so
it
cool.
was – he knew exactly what to expect, knew exactly what to predict. He had watched the tape from this exact look from 3 years ago, and he can tell you the game and the opponent they did it against and how it worked then. He just was this font of information, and everyone knew it. You could just
go to Deuce.
Ask Deuce. Deuce knows.
That's really cool, man.
Just
that's really
brilliant,
cool.
Brilliant football mind.
215-592-9494. Let's go back to the phones. Let's talk to Rick and Easton. What up, Ricky?
Hey, Celt. When Paxton in Aliens 2 goes, game over, and then he goes.
That character is.
Let me bring you up to speed. We just got our butts kicked. He was a riot in that movie.
He's so funny in that movie. Hudson, I think his character's name
is.
Yeah,
he was
a
riot. I can't believe he passed away either.
Yeah, it's a shame.
Anyway, so real quick with the Eagles, the one thing this franchise has never done over the years until Howie and even our gold standard owner, they not only can draft, and you know this, John, they also develop. And I think that is something that we're all overlooking when we are so concerned about the five players that we lost on the, on free agency.
Defense,
we have so much talent, young talent coming back, coupled with the development piece of what this franchise is bringing to the table. I think the defense is going to be better than people are giving it credit for.
I expect the defense to be outstanding once again. I expect the defense to be better than it was last year.
Wow. Ooh, that's a bold statement.
With that secondary?
Yeah. With this
secondary. So you think the steps forward from the young, like Carter getting better, Quinn Young getting better, Cooper getting better, all that.
Yeah, and the everyone's understanding of what Vic is trying to do will be 1 year more complete, and he can make it more complex. I can't wait to see how deep they can dive, because we know that these players are just so instinctive and smart, and they understand what Vic is asking them to do and what their teammates are doing. They understand it that deeply. When you got that, you can keep building, and that's the beauty of this. You got the second year in the same defense, which, you know, we have yet to have on the offensive side of the football, except for the first the Super Bowl loss season, when we had the same offensive coordinator 2 years in a row with Jalen. But now we've got the same defensive coordinator, Vic Fangio, one of the greatest to ever do it, 2 years in a row. He is going to build the repertoire, build the playbook.
But can he make Keely Ringo a better player?
No. Keely Ringo is not going to be on this starting defense.
But, I mean, Adoree Jack, none of them are separating themselves.
He's going to keep looking until they find the right guy. And right now we've got some luxury with a guy in Cooper DeJean who can cover some of that because of his versatility. And, you know, bide our time while we look to find the right guy on the outside. The defense is going to be smarter and more complex. What they will be able to do to offenses, I've been on the offensive side of things. When you play a defense that, like the Ray Lewis Ravens defense, you know, like the Patriots Teddy Bruschi defenses, these are smart defenses that just the X's and O's can beat you. Just the X's and O's. Forget about the talent of the players. When we get this thing going and we can start deceiving the offensive side, tricking them, stemming before the snap, you know, rotating the safeties late, doing those little things that make them wrong with what they assume they're diagnosing the defense to be, and then you take it away from them. You pull the rug out from under the offense. We're going to do that. And we didn't do that last year very often. We were sort of more vanilla because we could be. We could just stay in our nickel and you know, pretty basic stuff. Once we start throwing a little pizzazz in there, and who knows, week to week, maybe it won't be that often, but we can make this thing so that offenses have no idea which way is up. And when you combine that with the level of talent and the fact that you got Jalen Carter up there still taking two or three every single snap, and you still got Cooper DeJean as versatile as anyone I've ever seen playing on the defensive side of the football, this we will have answers. Offenses will not.
Rick, what do you got on the Phils real quick?
Yeah, and you have two dangerous defensive backs back there, Rhea, as well. Okay, so
what do you got on the Phils, Rick?
Now with the Phillies, you know, we know they have the AAA teams that are going to play also, and they're going to make the playoffs. We cannot go into the playoffs with Bohm, Cassie, or JT as their number four hitter.
It's going to be one of them, Rick. I mean, there's no
Turner, or you have to move. You have to move Harper to second and have Schwarber and have behind Harper.
That's fine. I don't hate that. It seems like Harper really likes being in the 3-hole. I don't need him there. I'm fine with Harper in the 2-hole. But I do think it's going to end up being one of those three in the cleanup spot. Rick, you got an iconic image for us?
Yes. So in the Ten Commandments, when Moses parts the Red Sea.
Oh, yeah. That's a big answer. Yes.
Kind of. Yeah.
Yeah, that plays. Let's talk to Gary in Vineland. What up, Gary?
Seltzer!
Gary!
Richie, I got a segment for you for next year's training camp.
Okay.
In the John with John.
Ooh, I love this. And we will be next segment. We're going to get to some of the Joe Flacco bathroom experience.
That was so funny.
So funny.
Oh,
yes,
can't
we'll
wait.
Get to that coming up on Layer Gear.
In the
John and the John is not bad. I mean, the branding sells
nice
itself.
Bathroom, yeah. By the way,
yeah, it's the Porta really Suite nice or whatever. Yeah, it's nice.
It's called Porta Suite luxury bathroom.
Yeah,
and it is luxurious.
Oh, it's very nice in there. I agree.
It's not your old porta pot.
No, it's not. No, it's not.
It's not your mother's.
All right, what you got today, Gary? Yeah, that's right.
Do you think
what
we can get
today,
a parody with Mr. Roboto and Moro Oajomo from Conklin?
Sure.
I hope that guy crushes it this year. Domo arigato moro ojo mo.
We've lost John now.
Yeah.
Moro.
You can do it. Moro.
Oh, man.
Domo arigato.
Gary, don't ever call us again,
moro,
Gary.
What have you done
ojo,
to us, Gary?
Moro,
what have you done?
Moro.
What else you got, Gary?
I think the problem
no
with
more
the
song
Phillies.
Ideas, Gary.
Okay. I think the problem with the Phillies is we all got PTPS, post-traumatic playoff syndrome. And we're all like,
look
like
at you. Look at you with the little moniker there. That was good work.
It is true. Right,
the last 2 days, it's just like we've seen it. And, you know, Harper swinging with a 3-0 count with the man in scoring position. I mean, come on.
So can we – all right, Bryce Harper, we don't really – get into this. I don't even want to mess with it because I don't want to throw everything off. I don't want to jinx it or something. He has something where he's just acting subdued, and it's been going on.
It's been on
for
all
quite
season.
A while.
I feel like. Yep. I feel like.
Yeah.
He's been, look. I
Why
think-
is it so subdued? Is he holding back until the postseason? Is this part of the different? Plan for this year, like is this part
I just think
of?
He's very intense this year. Like I don't.
It is very intense, but it feels almost like he's brooding too much to where it affects things negatively.
I don't disagree
at times.
I don't disagree with you. My only guess, and again, we're putting ourselves in his headspace.
Totally.
I don't know, but like, there's a lot of pressure on Bryce Harper. Bryce Harper is turning 33 in October. This is someone who we know cares desperately about the history of the game, his legacy, his place in the history of the game, and he knows. He has to win a championship for it to matter.
Yeah.
He has
16.
To win a title.
He has to.
It's the only thing that he has to do. There's nothing else in the sport that he has left to do that he has to do.
That may be too much pressure.
Other than win a title. Yeah, and I think, John, I think it might be like wearing on him a bit. The failures of the last couple of years, especially the like decline in finishes year to year, and him playing well in the playoffs and being like, you know, there's so much pressure to win. Like I feeling maybe like he has to do more than he's doing, which as a baseball player is hard to, you know, it's an individual sport, but it's also you need your teammates to do stuff. So I think it's a tough spot. I think it's that it's weighing on him. If I had to guess, Gary, I don't know. Obviously, Gary, you got an answer for an iconic image for us?
Can I give you the line and then the image?
Yeah, please.
Here's Johnny.
Yeah, it's a great one.
Yeah,
I was thinking about that as an
answer
coming into the show. That's a great, great answer. And you're listening to 94 WIP HD1 Philadelphia, broadcasting through the Tasty Cake Studios. And we are broadcasting from the NovaCare Complex for 94 WIP's Champ Camp, driven by Forest River RV, by Camping World RV Sales, Service, Parts, and Accessories. Let's go to Old City and talk to Matt. Hey, Matt.
Hey, what's going on? Good morning.
Hi, Matt. What's up?
Hey, quick call for me. But ultimately, I just wanted to say people who, you know, complain or whine about Hurts and how good he is or isn't good, you know, I was at the Super Bowl this year, lucky enough to go. And people who, you know, don't want to win championships and don't like that feeling of, you know, going down Broad Street, going down Bourbon Street, I don't know how you can't enjoy.
Want to pull off the season's freshest trends? You just need the right shoes. That's where Designer Shoe Warehouse comes in. Loving wide-leg jeans? Pair them with sleek, low-profile sneakers. Obsessed with the sheer trend? Try it with mesh flats. Feeling boho? Comfy sandals nail the whole free-spirited thing. Find on-trend shoes from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at DSW.
what Jalen Hurts brings to the table from a off-the-field perspective, from even when he's on the field leading everybody. It's, he puts up the stats, too, and the numbers, and, beats Mahomes in the Super Bowl and outplays him in another. I don't know how we can't, appreciate that as a city. So.
Matt, I'm so with you. Both points. The one, like we always say, like, all right, it only matters what you do in the biggest of games, and all this guy does in the biggest of games is be awesome. Yeah. But then on top of that, especially for this city, like we know we're blue collar, and we have a real ethos to who we are and how we go about our business. Like, who better than the guy who outworks everyone, the guy who's the first one there, the guy who leads by example, like cares desperately about winning, and all he cares about is putting into like. Winning championships, and that's all this guy is driven by. Like, I'm surprised.
They take away for style points, and I just don't get it.
I just don't. I mean, it feels like he was built for this city. Like, no. I'm so surprised that there isn't like unanimous approval of him in this city.
He was built for anyone who cares so much that they're perceived to be intense about something.
Weird. He's almost weird.
Peyton
to care so much.
Peyton Manning, who was so intense about football, I felt like it short-circuited him at times in the postseason. Peyton Manning said, when asked if he's ever met anyone more intense than Jalen Hurts, his answer was no. Jalen Hurts is the most intense
he's
person.
He's like, I don't even joke around with him.
Right.
I just keep the jokes back when I'm talking to Jalen.
That's so funny.
I don't get the reluctance to just like love him as your quarterback.
That's what I mean. Like it is weird to me. There are things over time that make sense, and I gotta like the Donovan thing. Like it was weird, but you could understand it in the
there was frustration with the losses.
There was passive aggressiveness on both sides.
Totally.
All this stuff, but like the Jalen thing, like I just don't get it at all. Like all he does is win, and all he does is work hard and care about winning. It just feels like he was built for this city. I'm so surprised that there is like pushback, Matt.
Yeah, I'd rather have my QB calling Peyton Manning, asking for advice and going through the playbook and seeing what pointers he can get and hanging out with Michael Jordan and smoking cigars.
Exactly.
Yes.
Michael Jordan.
Oh, I mean, I hold Michael Jordan in a special pantheon.
You have like 8,000 pairs of Jordan shoes.
I do. But Michael Jordan really, I mean, for my, I was born in 1974.
Perfect timing.
I was 10 or 11 years old when he was getting to the NBA. He was everything. When I was growing up, like watching basketball was all about Jordan. He, to me, is the best, ever. But that's, he is the personal confidant of our quarterback.
Think about it.
The first ever.
The point. Jordan chose him to be his ambassador in the NFL his brand.
Michael Jordan chose our quarterback. Doesn't that tell you everything you need to know?
Totally.
Yeah.
Love Matt, you got a answer for us for a iconic image from a movie?
Yeah, I do. I think anybody who ever gets on a boat recreates this, but Titanic with Jack and Rose.
Yeah, no, you're right.
I hope you love this. I'm the biggest Sandman fan. If peeing your pants is cool, consider me Miles Davis.
Matt. Great call, buddy. And I mean, look, I might not be the biggest Titanic fan. That is it. An iconic image, the two of them, and the king of the world thing. And I guess the king of the world's with the buddy. Either way.
The thing with Jalen that it made, because there were parts of of last year where the passing game was not good.
Sure.
I mean, we all watched it. But it's like the people who don't give him any credit, like, don't. Did they not watch the Super Bowl?
Totally. just the work ethic and the effort and the like care about winning. And it's all these things that we always purport to care the most about. That's why we hated Ben Simmons, right? Because he wouldn't work on his game. He wouldn't try and get better. Yep. All he cared about was, I'm good at this and I'm going to work on this. I'm not going to work on shooting. I don't need to do that. Jalen's the opposite. Jalen's like, I suck at this. Let me work at this. Let me get better at everything I can possibly get better at to win. Like, it just seems like he's perfect for the city. 215-592-9494. Coming up next, an Eagles legend. Going to go into the Eagles Hall of Fame. It's exciting. He deserves it. We'll talk about who and what that is. Plus, we mentioned it before, John and the John. a little incident from yesterday that happened with Joe Flacco in the bathroom that is hilarious, and you will want to hear that idea. That's coming up next as well. It's Morning Show. There you go. It's always nice when you know your producer's paying attention and listening to the show. Shout out to Louis Coco, doing a nice job back there. We're broadcasting from the NovaCare Complex for 94 WIP's Jam Camp. Driven by Forest River RV, by Camping World RV Sales, Service, Parts, and Accessories. It's the daily part of the show where we thank Tommy Shirokey for the wonderful food.
Chickies and Pete's.
Shout out to Chickie and Pete's.
Tommy Shirokey is the greatest.
He really is. He's the MVP of camp, in my opinion. In my limited time down here, the clear MVP for me has been Tommy Shirokey.
I agree with you. He is.
Cheese fries, breakfast sandwiches.
Man, it so hits the spot. Their breakfast menu is unique and phenomenal.
And to your point, you always bring this up, and you're so right. That cheese sauce, the fries, you know, cheese sauce that they use in the breakfast sandwiches, it's unbelievable.
It's perfection. Yeah. I do have this thing where I feel like hot sauce is a necessity for eggs and things at breakfast time. That cheese sauce is now a necessity for breakfast things. Like, I'm going to have to go swing by Chickies and Pete's now to put their cheese sauce on my eggs. It's that spectacular.
And to your point, they don't have hot sauce here. I'm like you. Like, I can't eat eggs without hot sauce. I can eat this without hot sauce. Oh, it's so good you don't even need the hot sauce. It's unbelievable. Yeah. All right, 215-592-9494. Coming up in a few minutes, and Eagles legend is going to be in the Eagles Hall of Fame. That'll happen this season. Very well deserved. We'll let you know who that is in a couple minutes. And coming up later this segment, the Joe Flacco bathroom experience. What's that? One, two, three, four words I never thought I would say on WIP, that's for sure. Let's keep it rolling on the phones. Let's talk to our buddy Stephen Willigrow. What up, Stevie?
Hey, good morning, everybody.
Hi, Steve.
Hey, Richie Rich, on yesterday, you were talking about, you know, the first players coming out onto the field. Were you there at the end? Like, who was the last players to leave the field for the Eagles?
No, I didn't wait to see that. That's a good idea, though.
Yeah, and then with them scripting the plays and the coaches, like, is that done on the fly as things are happening on the field and the coaches talk to each other, or do they have a script that they hand each other, or they sit down in meetings to
They hand it. They normally have that way beforehand, and they have the copy that everyone shares, you know, like the master copy that all the coaches have tucked in their waistline of their shorts.
I was listening to Adam Kaplan the other day, John, and he said that a NFC North coach went off script, really ticking off another coach during the match, and they said they'd never practice with that coach again. So they take them very seriously.
Yeah, it's fascinating. And look, it is, we've talked about this a lot over the last couple of years, but John, it does seem like these joint practices are the most real work that they will get in at least the Eagles players will get in the training camp preseason.
Yeah, the starters.
Period. Yeah,
and that's incredible when you think about Saquon didn't do much of anything, very little for some of the big time stars yesterday. Jalen was out there a ton. Jalen was getting the reps that he needs. You could feel that, you know, new offense, Kevin Petullo, it's going to take reps. And they understand that, and that's why Jalen's getting these critical – they're so beneficial. Every snap that he gets to take in the setting that the coaches deem most important for that, you know, set of plays that they're sending in, you know, what do the coaches want to see him adjust? Can he identify, you know, this defensive, you know, the secondary rotation late, so he knows that he needs to get to this part of the play, the next play. He needs to kill it and get to the second part of the play, or however they see it. They're getting work in, even if it doesn't look pretty at times. And yesterday, our passing game certainly did not look pretty.
And we will hear more about that in 5 minutes. Elliot Short Parks will join the show. Steve, what do you got on the Phils? Steve, did we lose Steve? Oh, no! All right. Well, we'll put Steve back on hold. Maybe we can get Steve back there. Let's get to Eagles Hall of Famer, John. Someone is this season going to be put in the Eagles Hall of Fame. It was announced yesterday. It is well-deserved. We'll give you a little taste of him getting the guys hyped up before the NFC Championship game in 2018.
Look at this, man. I ain't got to say about that team. Because it ain't about them. It's all about us. I don't know if y'all realize, but this is the last time that this team and this circle is going to play on this field together.
Oh, yeah.
This team won't ever be the same, now. So this is our last chance. Let's make this the best one, man. Have some fun and cut it loose. The disrespect will not be tolerated. All year they done told you what you couldn't do, what you couldn't be.
Yeah.
We four quarters away from being a legendary team.
Uh-huh.
We already legendary. We showed up legendary. This is the stage of proving. Hey, we four quarters away from being up there. Being up there in the Rockets when they can't take that down.
Yes, sir.
And they go out there.
Yes, sir.
This is what mommy, hey, dude, work. That's all we wanted. In April, we're going to put in the work to be right here. To be right here.
Let's go.
Dominate, bud. It ain't got to be close.
It ain't got to be close.
1, 2, 3.
Real Eagles.
Go Boston.
Real Eagles.
Congratulations to Eagles Hall of Famer, soon to be this season, Malcolm Jenkins. John, couldn't deserve it more. I think we all knew at some point Malcolm was going to get put in the Eagles Hall of Fame. Well deserved.
Yeah, that was really awesome to listen to. Incredible leader. What a great job he did with that pregame type stuff. He had a way with the pregame and postgame words. Some guys just could do that. Man, he was sort of like Cooper DeJean in that you could trust him to do everything. Everything that would ever be expected of a defensive back. And so he was the ultimate nickel, the ultimate, you know, slot, the ultimate cover slash he could do man or zone or hit you or, you know, tackle you or tell his teammate exactly what to do. He was a great, just a great big brain as well as a great man.
Leader and all that.
Cornerback coverage guy first.
Yeah, he came out as a corner out of Ohio State. Yeah.
Ohio State cornerback who grew into the safety position, which, you know, sometimes it tends to happen that way. With Charles Woodson, Woodson came out of cornerback, grew into the
safety position, right?
He slowed down a little bit. Yeah, the great ones, it seems like that happens. Another Rod Woodson, another guy that I played with. That's what the way he went. But these guys with the knowledge to share, when they slow down a little bit, you just stick them in at safety. In Cooper DeJean's case, that's not what we're talking about.
No, it's just way quicker with Cooper.
Yeah, a little bit. Fun fact about Malcolm?
Yeah.
I believe he's the only NFL player to have beaten both Tom Brady and Peyton Manning in Super Bowls.
Oh, yeah, that would make sense. That's a good that is a good fact. I like that a lot. All right, coming back to Elliot Short Parks in just 1 minute. Let's get Steve back on. And Steve, let's get your answer for the iconic image before we let you go.
Okay. So real fast, Jimmy, before I give you that. So we got an endorsement from Peyton Manning, and now we get an endorsement from Michael Jordan. I think we have the best quarterback in the league.
I'm with you, pal. I'm with you. What do you got on an image?
So how about Leslie Chow jumping out of the trunk and smacking Bradley Cooper?
Oh, and Hangover?
In the desert, in the Hangover.
Yeah, good answer there. Probably not a winner compared to some of the ones we've had, but a funny answer.
Funny.
Ken Jeong, good stuff. All right, 215-592-9494. Back to the phones. In a few minutes, let's go out on the guest line. Let's talk to our beat reporter here at WIP, my co-host on the Go Birds podcast, Go Birds Radio on Saturdays. And the man who is the official record keeper of the joint practices, no one else's opinion matters, according to him, the one, the only, Mr. Elliot Chirp Parks. What up, B?
Well, I'm glad you said it so I didn't have to. You know, I didn't want to come on and say it. But, no, happy to be on. And, look, it wasn't a great practice yesterday, but excited to talk about it.
All right, well, let's get into it, and we'll get into the nitty-gritty of what you saw and all that. But big picture, just your overall reaction to what you saw yesterday.
Yeah, so I thought it was a tale of two sides of the ball. I thought the Eagles' defense had a really good day. Now, they're going up against a Browns offense that is not great. The Browns' quarterbacks are atrocious. Like, watching them practice yesterday was rough. If I was a Cleveland fan, I would not expect many wins this year. But the Eagles' defense did what they were supposed to. They didn't allow a touchdown to the Browns' first-team offense. They held the first-team quarterbacks to 13 of 19, with the majority of those, I would say, being checkdowns, probably two or three throws. They completed beyond 15 yards, but nothing really major. So I thought the defense really stepped up and won the day for the Eagles in the joint practice. But the offense, not nearly as good. Jalen Hurts finished 16 of 24, two touchdowns, one interception. But this is why all stats require context. If you look at those numbers, you would think, oh, that's a pretty good day. But I think he probably had his worst day of training camp so far. The two touchdowns that he had were both within 5 yards, both essentially checkdowns. And he easily could have had three interceptions on the day. And if you want to include an interception he threw in one-on-ones, which don't count for stats, but was still noteworthy on his day, I thought he really struggled taking care of the ball yesterday. So going into today, I definitely want to see a much better practice from Hurts.
What was the reason that Jalen, in your opinion, Jalen seemed off?
So I definitely think the Browns' defensive line was getting a good amount of pressure on him. And, you know, if you look at who was at offensive line for the majority of practice yesterday, it was three new players from last year. There was no Mekhi Becton, there was no Lane Johnson, and now with Landon Dickerson sidelined, he obviously wasn't out there either. So for a majority of practice, he had Matt Pryor at right tackle, he had Brett Toth at right guard, and then obviously Tyler Steen at left guard, which is, you know, where he'll start this year. But right guard. But regardless, he still had three new offensive linemen in front of him. I think that was part of it. But I also think he just, you know, some of the passes he made weren't super accurate. The one interception he threw to Goddard was only about a 5 or 6 yard pass, but put it a little behind Goddard, allowed the defender to get there and come away with the interception. He had another play that he was sacked on prior to throwing it, but when he did throw it, you know, he threw it literally right to the defender. So that, you know, was a little bit of poor decision making, but he just spent a good portion of the day running around. I had him down being sacked about 4 times yesterday. And then there were a number of quarterback runs in there as well. So I thought pressure was a problem yesterday.
Yeah. Pressure. Miles Garrett, a big part of that problem. What about our pressure on their quarterbacks? We've been looking for edge guys to show up and sort of pop. Did that happen?
So I thought both Uche and Azeez Ojulari had good days. Now, they took reps against first and second team. So, you know, it was a mixture of it wasn't all against the Brown starters. But Ojulari had a good rep where he got pressure on the quarterback. He also had a nice play against the run, which is definitely noteworthy when you consider, you know, one issue Vic has with these edges at times, especially last year, if your name is Bryce Huff, is, you know, if you don't play the run, you're not going to play. So Ojulari getting that good play against the run, I thought was obviously a good thing. And then Uche as well having a good day. So, you know, I thought they did get good pressure on the Browns quarterbacks. But I also thought, like, the Browns sailed a few passes. There was probably two or three I can think of where the ball sailed completely out of bounds. So decent day from the pass rush for sure. But if you want to say, you know, why I think the Eagles were the better team yesterday, it probably just came down to, A, they just have a more talented roster. And I think in a day where both teams were pretty sloppy, that talent won out. And the defense held the Browns out of the end zone, and the Eagles were able to get in twice. So, I thought the defensive line was okay, but I wouldn't say they were all over the Browns quarterbacks all day.
What did you see at the cornerback competition spot between Adoree Jackson, Ja'Quarion Bennett, and Kelee Ringo? Who has the advantage in your eyes?
Yeah, so I would say Ja'Quarion Bennett and Kelee Ringo stood out, but not in a good way. Kelee Ringo had a play where it was Jerry Jeudy along the left sideline. The ball was coming to Jerry Jeudy. Kelee Ringo was, you know, kind of I wouldn't say running over, but he was a little bit away from Judy, coming over, trying to make a play on the ball, and he completely whiffed on the football. It went right by him, and Jerry Jeudy caught it. They were lucky that they had safety help over the top who was able to tag Jerry Jeudy and bring him down. So that was a bad rep for Keeley. Ja'Quarian Bennett had one nice pass breakup, but outside of that, I saw him let up one catch down the sideline, and he also got called for a pass interference. So obviously I'm not able to key in on each of them every single play. It's possible when the coaches watch the tape. Yeah. Last night they felt there were reps that they did well in, but the reps that stood out to me were not positive for either of those two. And then Adoree Jackson didn't stand out, I thought, for better or worse. But on a day where the other two weren't great, that's probably a positive for him.
And great. How about
really grabbing the role?
Yeah.
Cooper DeJean as a safety versus Cooper DeJean as a cornerback. That transition, what do you make of that? Does it feel like it's going to stick as a safety?
Yeah, I mean, I think they have no choice. Like, if they want Cooper DeJean out on the field, they're going to have to find...
What does possibility mean to you?
That's a hard question.
Something that you can strive for.
That I'm able to do anything I set my mind to.
You're confident in yourself and you believe in yourself. Stuff that you could achieve.
I feel excited. Anything is possible when you're more confident.
Shoes are a huge part of that. They are the most important part of my style.
You can, like, express yourself
in the right shoes.
Anything is possible.
DSW, countless shoes at bragworthy prices. Imagine the possibilities.
A place to put him in base defense. I think he will stay at nickel. Throughout the year, barring some type of injury at safety, then maybe I could see them moving him back there full time. But I think as of now, their plan is still to have him be the safety in the base defense, nickel when they go into a nickel defense. And, you know, I think he's had a good camp. Now, in the open practice on Sunday at the link, he did let up a touchdown to Devontae, but Devontae one-on-one coverage, that's a tough job for any corner. So I can't really kill him for that. But I think he's had a good camp overall. So I think, you know, they're putting a lot on his plate, and I think that's obviously an adjustment for him. But so far, I think he's been good.
We're joined by Elliot Shore Parks. He's sponsored by Colonial Hyundai. Shop online 24/7 at colonialhyundai.com. Colonial Hyundai, the faster, easier, better way to buy a Hyundai.
Elliot, Jordan Davis, we know he looks different physically. How has he fared when the live bullets were flying against real competition against the Cleveland Browns? Does he look like the better shape is translating to better football?
Yeah. So I didn't notice any plays from him yesterday. It's possible he had some that I just missed. But, I think throughout camp he's had a decent camp. I wouldn't say every day I'm out there I'm like, wow, look at that Jordan Davis play. Like, guys like Moro Ojomo, I think, are making more plays. Jalen Carter, obviously you can tell his presence is out there. And then even just on other parts of the football, like Jahad Campbell, you can tell he's out there every day. I wouldn't say with Jordan Davis I'm out there at practice being like, well, there's another Jordan Davis play. So I think he's been okay. I will say he still seems to be in great shape. You know, obviously I would think over 2 weeks you're probably going to struggle to get out of shape. But I think he's been decent so far. But what it's really going to come down to with him is the pass rush. Like, point blank, that's what it's all about. Is he going to be able to be out there on third down? Now, it's going to be tough for him because Moro Ojomo is a really good pass rusher. Jalen Carter is a really good pass rusher. It's possible that if Jordan Davis does a good job, they could move Jalen Carter to the outside. They've been toying with some packages where they have either Ojomo or Jalen Carter out on the edge, which would allow a spot in the middle to open up. But, I wouldn't say Jordan Davis has stood out in any amazing fashion in camp.
Hmm. On the offensive side of things, I was really hoping to see Darius Cooper sort of show up when we were facing the Browns competition, just because Darius Cooper felt like he really popped in the preseason game, and I was disappointed, especially because, you know, with no A.J. Brown, I thought maybe he'd have more opportunity. What went on? What went wrong, I guess, with Darius Cooper not having, a better practice yesterday? Was that just because Jalen was as off as he was?
Yeah, so I would say the great thing about training camp is guys like Darius Cooper. We've lived through it with Rashid Bailey. We've lived through it with Paul Turner, right? Where these guys that a month ago we had no idea who they are, all of a sudden we have these huge expectations for them. So when you say, you know, maybe it went wrong for Darius Cooper yesterday, I think the fact we're even talking about him and the fact he's even getting first team reps and the fact that he's getting even second team reps is a major positive for him. So I think when it comes to Darius Cooper, we probably need to keep expectations a little bit in check, right? Like, he's not, if Darius Cooper is getting major snaps for the team this year, like, something has gone terribly wrong. And that's not a slate at him. That's just a reality of where the roster is at. He's probably the sixth receiver right now on the depth chart. And again, I think he's had an awesome camp. And like, talking to him, he's definitely somebody that I think fans will gravitate to. He has that type of personality. He has a story, you know, you want to root for. But I would agree he's cooled off a little bit, just in the way that, you know, I think yesterday he had three targets his way. One of them fell incomplete. But I think with him, if he can just continue to get the coaching staff to put him out on the field and first team reps and second team reps, that's huge for him. So I think, you know, things are still pointing, I would think, to him making the roster.
The coolest story is Devontae Smith said after the preseason game, he went to YouTube to look up his college highlights because he thought he was so cool to watch.
That. Yeah.
So when Devontae Smith says he's a freak of nature.
Yeah, no, that's
so it's pretty cool.
Yeah, it is cool.
So, well, and all the coaches, great, when you talk to them about him, they talk about. Sorry. Go ahead.
Go ahead. We got a delay with your app. It's a little hard. I was just going to say along the wide receivers.
There seems to be a delay.
John had mentioned before how good Johnny Wilson looked again yesterday, and even the potential for Johnny Wilson to challenge for some of those slot reps from Jahan Dotson. What did you see from Johnny Wilson yesterday, and how realistic is it that he could work his way up the depth chart?
So he had a really good day of practice. He had both from Jalen Hurts and Tanner McKee catches down the sideline where he's winning 50-50 balls. And that's exactly what you want to see from him. I don't think at this point he is someone that you're consistently going to see get open with route running, somebody that consistently is going to get a ton of targets. Where he is going to be effective at this point in his career is winning those 50-50 balls down the field. He has great height. He has long arms. And so when he gets those chances, he needs to make them. And early on in camp, I don't think he was. In the preseason game, we all saw he had a great game. And frankly, I think that has turned camp around from him. He seems to be playing with more confidence. He's making better plays. And so I thought he did have a really good day yesterday. In terms of working his way up the depth chart, that's probably going to be tough to – I mean, it depends how you look at it. Like, A.J., Devontae, and Dotson are the top three on this team. Like, Dotson's had an awesome camp, and then obviously A.J. and Devontae are going to be the top two. But I think early on in camp, you could have convinced me, like, maybe Johnny Wilson's roster spot was in some danger. But I think he's done enough now where he's probably pretty clearly locked in at that number four receiver. And I think he will make the team.
I don't know, Elliot. If I'm starting a game in my first 15, I put a personnel grouping with Johnny Wilson as the starting third wide receiver, and I run the ball. You know, I think Johnny Wilson, because he is such a unique physical presence, he has such a, I don't know, a niche. And I've seen guys like this, you know, like he'll have the whatever the personnel grouping is, like whatever his favorite, I don't know, food is, like, I don't know, sausage pizza. It's going to be like zebra sausage. This is the personnel grouping that he's going to be blocking the heck out of people on the outside. And now with this newly developed confidence in his one-on-one ability, this guy can be such a weapon in the red zone. Holy cow.
Yeah, so I would agree with that. Like, in certain packages, definitely he makes more sense than someone like Jahan Dotson. I would completely agree with you there. I think on running downs, he makes more sense in the red zone for sure. I just think the pecking order of who they're, you know, of who they're throwing the ball to and who they're calling plays for. Now, they're not going to call many plays for Dotson or Johnny Wilson, but I think Dotson has had a good enough camp. Like, he's looked much better, I think, than last year. He's getting the ball consistently. Him and Jalen, you can tell, have way better chemistry than they did last year. So I agree in certain packages for sure, but I think when it comes to throwing the ball to one of them, I think they have more confidence in Dotson right now.
All right, check him out at Elliott Shore Parks. He'll be out here again today. He'll be back with us tomorrow to say what he saw today, hoping for a better day from Jalen. And only win-loss record that matters comes from Elliott Shore Parks. So in 3 seconds,
exactly
he
right.
Responds.
Exactly right.
There we go. There we go. All right, thanks, E. Great time. Great stuff. All right,
that was
Elliott
very fun.
Sure.
Yep.
It was, yes. Even though we had a little Christiane Amanpour type
that
situation
was a
there.
Bad delay.
Yeah, that was bad. That
painful.
Was worse than it's been.
Yes,
yeah.
It was painful.
All right. Twitter poll question of the day, sponsored by Armin Chevrolet. Proud to again be PA's number one Chevrolet EV dealer, now in stock. The Equinox, Blazer, and Silverado EVs together. Let's drive ArminChevy.com. Who do you think should back cleanup behind Bryce Harper in the playoffs? Options are JT Realmuto, Alec Bohm, or Nick Castellanos. To make a point, he has been dreadful. Back to the phones. Coming up in a minute, we are going to the Joe Flacco bathroom experience. Yes. I don't even know what else to say. Hey, Ken. How you doing,
Good morning, friends. How are you today?
Awesome, Ken.
So, first of all, great article this morning about Howie Roseman. Just fascinating. Every teenager should be required to read this article in the Inquirer. It is so instructive, and especially his quote in there about when you become immune to the word no, it opens up so many doors for success for you. So just a really interesting article. I know most of this stuff about Howie. Before I get to the Eagles, just on the Phillies, look, you're going to have those kinds of nights like last night in 162-game season. I'm not going to say it's a marathon, not a sprint, because I don't want to get punched. It's just one of those things. And JT, by the way, has been one of the best hitters in baseball since May. I mean,
he's been great. Yeah,
he's had like half of his last 45 games or something like that. Something like half of them, he's had at least two hits. So, I mean, he doesn't drive ball out of
the park. I think he's the answer as of today. I agree with you, Ken. If I were filling
out
the
Bohm,
see Bohm get back and be healthy. But we know that JT, and Richie pointed out before with that leg kick and the timing and stuff, like he can kind of lose it like that. And we saw it in the playoffs last year. It was a disaster. But I agree. As of right now, I probably trust JT the most in that
spot.
Well,
it's a little more extended than
John, well said. Yeah, but it's like you don't feel amazing about it no matter what, but I think that's where I'm at. Yeah,
well, they don't have that bat on the roster. So you've got he's just not here. So you've got to make do with what you've got. On the Eagles, look, we're more than halfway through camp. And, this time last year, the number one topic of conversation was, what does the head coach do around here? So I felt it was time for me to make my obligatory call to remind everybody that we have the best coach in the league coaching this team, who does not get the credit that he deserves. And it was interesting hearing a lot of the conversation about how Jalen has not been satisfied with winning and how he's reaching out to, Peyton Manning and those guys after winning a Super Bowl. And our head coach, who was on the sidelines and won the Super Bowl in February, spent his offseason calling Gino Auriemma and those kinds of coaches about the sustained greatness and how do you sustain that greatness. And,
I think we got a little clue into that. Did you guys see the video that came out a couple of days ago of Jalen and Nick at the ring ceremony?
Oh, yeah.
Where they said one at a time. Yeah. We're going to win them one at a time, is what they said to each other. And it almost felt like it's like their thing
other.
Is like they did. I know. But Ken, I think they both kind of learned that like you have to focus on each season as its own thing. And I think we've heard that in messaging from them and all that. And that's part of the moving on and all that. I think the one at a time thing is kind of their mentality between and something they've learned. I thought that was a clue into how they're thinking.
I mean, how cool is it that the Super Bowl ring has the little inserts that pop out when you push the button that says you can't be great without the greatness of
without
others.
The greatness
of
others.
Super Bowl ring has the Nick Sirianni quote on it that they've all
and it in. Should. Nick, that guy got grown men to love each other and fight for each other, and he won a Super Bowl because of it. To your Ken, look, we know you were alone on an island for a while. That island should be fully populated. Ken, you got an answer for us for a still image from a movie?
Well, yeah, it's the scene of Saving Private Ryan when they say to Tom Hanks, check out that view, and he looks out over Omaha Beach, and all you see is the carnage. Mm-hmm. And all yeah. that. No, I mean, that's
good answer, Ken. And I actually, I've been thinking about this a lot. I've watched it recently. I think that's Tom Hanks' best performance.
He was amazing.
I know that's a bold thing. Like, he's got Philadelphia and he's got Forrest Gump, obviously won the Oscar and Big and all. He is unbelievable.
He's so
in Saving Private
Ryan. So different from anything he'd ever done.
He reserved for most of the movie. I think he's amazing in that movie. Like, really, truly. All right, 215.
I need to watch that again. I think it was so visceral time that I didn't feel the need to watch it again anytime.
What was the first time I had watched it since?
Well, I just did it again. I did it
like 3 months ago for the first time since I saw it in the
movie. I have thought about certain scenes in that movie that I actually dread. Like, I mean, certain moments in that movie that I don't even know that I'm ready to see it again. Yeah. So that's, I think, that why I haven't circled back fully.
Yeah. Is it the ridiculous ending? Is that why you were so stupid? Did I live a good life? It's like, shut up.
So bad.
Yeah. It really is. But otherwise, unbelievable movie.
Why do that?
Seems so unnecessary. All right, speaking of why did Joe Flacco walk in front of us the other day at a certain time in the show? Oh, wait. Like every other normal human, he had to go to the bathroom. Yeah. This hilarious interaction happened yesterday. Rhea doing an update. We got a couple pieces of audio for you. The Joe Flacco bathroom experience. By the way, this is all over social media, not just us. I saw a bunch of people talk. I guess Joe Flacco going to the bathroom is a fascinating thing for all of us. Here's how it played out yesterday, the first part of the Joe Flacco bathroom experience.
Brought to you by Window Nation. Eagles and Browns joint practice will get underway in about a half an hour here at the NovaCare Complex. Somebody had to make a potty run.
I sure did.
From the Browns, interestingly enough, that James will tell you all about it.
You bet I will. So we come back from break, and we are talking about is that obviously Rhea is. So we're just sitting here doing the update. We're coming back, and we just see Joe Flacco walk and get in
line.
Well,
it's rare when you see a player in pads and full uniform.
We don't.
Walk by to go
he
to
use
one of these.
He's the first one we've seen do that in the entire time in the RV.
Like 3 weeks.
That is the first player to do it. So it's shocking to begin with. And then it's Joe Flacco. It's the most recognizable guy on the team.
Wearing orange. Kind of stands out.
Yes. And then he just goes and wait in line and goes about
it. He's in line.
So, you know, we come back and talk about it. Little did we know.
Hold on. The thing that's messed up is, like, that line is completely unnecessary.
Oh, I know,
Joe
too.
Joe was waiting in. Yeah. Like, this is a bathroom that has two toilets and two urinals and two sinks, yet there's one person going in at a time.
Why were the sinks included in that? Are you implying something with the sinks there?
What?
No, we have two sinks, too.
You could use sinks for all sorts of
things. That was a joke. That was the joke. Little did we know, our intrepid reporter, John Ritchie, saw an opportunity to go in the John. John and the John before. Here's what happened after the bathroom experience, Joe Flacco. It's a very strange situation.
We are children.
Did Richie just like follow him?
I think so. Richie might be chasing after him right now.
But I will say this. He very nicely took pictures with a bunch of people.
He was very kind.
But it was so funny.
Look, athletes have to go to the bathroom too.
Football pads.
I just talked with him.
You did? All right. So what
happened? I was talking with Joe Flacco in the bathroom.
Oh, you were in that same dialogue?
Yeah.
You were just talking about it.
I went to talk to Joe Flacco. You said Joe Flacco went in the bathroom, so I just went over there.
Talked to him in the bathroom. That's amazing. All right, break it down. What happened?
Joe
Take
Flacco.
Some time.
So
break it down.
I talked with him for a while. We were.
How's it hanging?
Yeah, it was amazing. I talked to him about the fact that I did his games back in the day when he was
at Delaware. Yeah.
Talked about the fact that no one realizes how good he could be at the ride and decide offense because
you gave him a little pep talk.
He was
in there?
Running. Yeah.
What an experience.
He was running the ride and decide.
You don't realize
at Delaware.
How great you can be.
Dude, I'm dying over here. The idea of Richie in the bathroom being like, hey man, you should run the ride and decide where you're so good at it. People don't realize you they think you're not fast. Dude, you got this, man. Like,
He is.
Did he appreciate
quite
it?
The athlete.
Or was he like, this is weird?
He laughed. I think maybe he kind of remembered me from doing his games because he was the man at Delaware. We were talking all about him all game long. And, you know, he probably saw the TV copy of some of those things.
I'm sure.
And we were really positive about him, very complimentary. The guy was a monster at Delaware.
To be a first-round pick out of Delaware, you got to be pretty freaking unbelievable at Delaware.
Pitt.
He was at Pitt,
and then he transferred to Delaware, and he was running the read option. I mean, he
and his size was, too. Yeah,
he was a big dude. The pull read that Jalen pulls it and gets the edge. That's Joe Flacco beating these kids around the edge, like running for touchdowns. And then he had this incredible arm. I mean, you still see the arm.
Of course, the cannon.
He's 40 years old. He's still got a bazooka. He was just such a. I knew that he was bound for NFL excellence. I didn't realize he was bound for Super Bowl MVP.
Yeah. Didn't he have like one of the best
playoff runs of all time?
Yeah,
yes.
Like I mean, in terms of
yards, numbers, all of it. That Flacco that year, what was it 2012 or something like that?
He's
somewhere
just
in that
dialed
generation.
In.
It was one of the great quarterback playoff runs we've ever seen. Yep. Yeah,
but at the root of it all, he is such an unbelievable athlete. He at 6 foot six and you know just a tall drink of water. No one realizes how good, how athletic he really is. He's faster than people realize because it just doesn't look like he's going. He's covering ground out there, and he can still cover ground out there. I guess I'm getting a little excited about talking about it.
It's like you're going back to your days at Delaware.
Right? I wish I could play like that. You know, that is amazing for me to watch. And it's, we were talking about the Delaware days and, I mean, he was here.
Yeah.
He was here for a little bit.
Oh, yeah, a little part bit.
Partway through
a
season.
For a second.
They traded him away.
To the Jets. Yeah.
Yeah. But, man, what a career.
What a career. I agree with you.
He's made for himself, all based on the guy is he has got the goods. He absolutely
physical
has
and
the
mental traits.
And the mental, like the cool state of mind that a quarterback must have. He's always just been, his demeanor has been so level. And that's so important. We've got a great example of it in Jalen Hurts. So level all the time. That translates to guys believe in you, guys trust you, guys think you have the answer, maybe even when you don't. It makes a difference.
215-592-9494. 1 hour to go for us. We are at training camp, broadcasting from the NovaCare Complex for 94 WIP's Champ Camp, driven by Forest River RV and Camping World RV Sales, Service, Parts, and Accessories. It's the morning show. John Ritchie, James Seltzer, Jody Cameron, Rhea Hughes hanging out, Louis Coco back at the studio. Don't go anywhere. We're coming right back.